Hey everyone, happy Sunday. I wanted to drop a quick bonus episode, kind of. So Friday's episode, I took the script and I used it to create one of the spoken word tracks that I've just grown really passionate about lately. You know, there was a time in my life where I found a bunch of content that were similar to this, where it was these lectures that were broken apart and added to music. And I find that the rhythm allowed me to contemplate the words in a way that I wasn't able to do if I were to just, for example, just listen to the lecture. So I launched a YouTube channel recently. And on that YouTube channel, I'm putting all of this stuff that I'm making. This, I'm calling it spoken word until I can find a better name for it, but something like poetry to music. And you guys probably notice that my language is a bit poetic anyway. I tend to want to try to craft words in a way that allow you to see yourself in the space between those words. Hopefully that's making sense for you. But I say that because I wanted to take Friday's, it's one of my favorites I've made so far. I took Friday's script, I added it to music, I built in some breaks to think about some of the words. And I don't think that I'll be putting these on the podcast channel forever. I know I put the Devastated Kingdom thing on here, album on the channel, and from time to time, I'm using music for the message. At some point, I do foresee that these two things will break apart, and all that will be on the YouTube is the music and the spoken word type stuff, and then the podcast will go back probably strictly to the morning coffee episodes. But anyway, while I get the YouTube up and running, and because we have so many amazing listeners on here, I just found that it would be a good idea to put them on both channels, on both mediums. So anyway, so this is a spoken word track on Heaven and Hell, the episode that aired Friday. And also, I will link the YouTube channel up in the show notes of this episode if you are interested in checking out, you know, this track and all of the spoken word stuff that I'm putting together. If you have, you know, even 15 minutes to go for a walk and just think about your life, I find that that can be a really beneficial way to use this kind of content. But without further ado, on to the bonus track. For the purposes of today, I'm not interested in what may or may not exist outside of the world of time and space that we live within. Rather, I'm interested in exploring how we create heaven and hell in this world. I'm going to keep asking and answering the question, what are we doing? And how is that contributing to the quality of our lives, specifically when we seem to be existing in the highs and the lows? When I talk about heaven, I'm referring to those moments in life when the entire world seems to open up to you. Maybe you find intense meaning or intense belonging and love, or maybe those two are actually the same thing. In any case, heaven, as I want to discuss it here, is when your life gives you the feedback that in all of the cosmos, you are in the exact right place, at the exact right time, with the exact right people, or person, including yourself. You experience the abundant fullness that your life has to offer. Hell is the opposite polarity to that fullness. It is lack in every conceivable way. It's found in those moments when you feel lost as to who you are or where you should be. And so you're constantly looking outside of yourself to fill that feeling that something is surely missing. Hell is desire without satiation. It's the life you want, sitting outside of your ability to grasp it. We should also know that though it might be uncomfortable, our lives are going to inevitably contain seasons of both. A life devoid of its polarities would teach you nothing. When these polarities are treated as curriculum, meant to teach you about their opposite, about how to be here, you find that your life takes on the sense that it's always getting better, or that it's at least going somewhere worth being. And as we learn to navigate these polarities with grace, productive reflection, and poise, we'll find that our life is far less likely to drag us into them. When in hell, you open to the fact that this is not an eternal sentence, that the best is yet to come, still waiting on your discovery. And when in heaven, you lean into the feeling, sights, and sounds, and you allow it to calibrate your north arrow, it gives you an aim. You know, like the North Star helped men of wisdom find the birth of truth. We should note, too, that both of these states are ascending or descending, depending on the momentum that you carry into them. The heaven you've tasted is nothing compared to the heaven that's yet to come. As you align your character, thoughts, actions, and self in a way that allows you to actually access those higher realms of being, you find that the universe is infinitely abundant and perfectly content to bring you far more than you could even desire. In that same way, though, hell is a bottomless pit. It may begin with a sense that you're lost or stuck without purpose, but as you reach for something to grab onto and you find only chaos, you may find yourself slipping into apathy in order to protect yourself, pretending you don't care. Humans, though, are feeling creatures, and as such, we're not here to live apathetic lives. Anesthesia, when chosen and used as a coping mechanism, will wreak havoc on your soul and the world will grow more and more unbearable. Because it is simply too harsh when you have an enemy, when you have an enemy, when you have an enemy within your own person. The most prevalent way that the modern person stumbles into hell is by denying the desires of their own heart. You simply cannot be or do whatever you want in this life. It might sound good on a meme or a postcard or from your mom, but the reality is far different. You might find that doing whatever you want comes at the cost of your own contentment, and after enough time, your well-being. This is because you have an internal constitution which directs you toward a meaningful life. You can follow it, and it will bring you everything you do not yet know you want. You can ignore it, and it will bring you ever deeper into apathy. Though an encouraging parent may be inclined to tell us that we can be whatever we want, it might be more helpful to say that we can be anything we want, and that the moment we find that our heart's no longer in it, we can be anything else that we want. And you'll notice here that I said the modern person stumbles into hell. And this is because we don't begin our lives by ignoring the needs of our own heart. Rather, we take on deals that are quote unquote too good to pass up. We start comparing our internal state to other people's external lives, and we begin to aim at what others have, which often takes us further from our own internal knowing. And finally, we seek belonging and mistakenly feel as though we have to subjugate parts of ourselves in order to get it. But belonging gained in this way usually belongs to the mask that we're wearing for the world and not to ourselves. And every day that goes by, it's likely that we'll resent the mask more and more. If hell is found by marching toward a life that is not our own, heaven is found in the reclamation of the life that was always ours to begin with. It's our birthright. This means learning to put down habits that keep us from our fullness or extinguish our own light. And this means letting ourselves love what we actually do. This is the process of falling in love with our lives. And we say in love because it's a state that we enter into. It is the opposite of loneliness. Here, we find symbolism in the world's ancient texts and great religions because they often use the word love and God as synonymous with each other. We can infer then that if heaven is the place that God is thought to be, then love is the road that we must take in order to get there. This is the road that is waiting for us once we learn to shed the layers of people-pleasing, lack, and comparative living. The road of love is not traveled by accepting less than you deserve, but by becoming crystal clear on exactly what you deserve. And then, here comes the tough part, actually accepting that for yourself. As I've said, heaven is characterized by abundance. And what this means is that you cannot get there by traveling the roads labeled not enough or I need more or any other disposition associated with lack. We must ground ourselves in gratitude so that we can build off the blessings we've already received. For this reason, among others, Meister Eckhart said that if the only prayer you ever say is thank you, it will be enough. Here's what's tough to get your mind around. I think maybe the reason that we don't show gratitude, because we don't believe that we're sufficient enough to answer the eternal invitation of our own lives. But the truth is, they're always inviting us to engage with them, to learn more about what we do not know, and to embark on the adventure that is uniquely ours. And as we do, we see that the invitation presented by the unknown was always coaxing us along, and it was asking us to grow into a more expansive version of who we've been, to shed old layers and to transform. Not to ride off into the sunset for a static utopia, but rather to embrace the sunrise and all of the uncertainty that this day is going to hold. If heaven is abundant, we're being invited to cultivate the gifts we've been given and then to serve others with those same gifts. Every dead end invites us to think in new and different ways, leveraging our abstract thought and leaving the low entropic states of the routine and the mundane. It's asking us to take what we've been handed, even if that thing is bullshit, and make something beautiful out of it, for both ourselves and for the world that is still yet to come. This is how we participate in the unfolding of creation, and we do our part in the emergence of the highest good. The trips through hell remind us of our own humanity, and that we are not ultimately free from limitation or heartache. Hell reminds us to stay humble and to be grateful when we're not there. As rock bottom does us the favor of stripping away the inconsequential layers we've added to ourselves throughout our lives, hell, if endured correctly, purifies the parts of ourselves that won't serve us on our journey upward. In other words, it'll burn away everything that you're not. And finally, it's heaven that reminds us that everything is redeemable, that even the pain points have their purpose, and that even this roadblock is but a stepping stone toward the good that is still yet to be revealed. See, heaven reminds us that love is not a fruitless labor,